Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. This weekend, something unusual happens in America. The cookouts start early, the flags go up, and just for a moment, we do something unusual. We put a pause in our life. Memorial Day has a way of causing us to pause, to do that very thing, just to pause and to think. We pause at a graveside, like you saw in the video earlier. We pause as we hear the national anthem being played. We pause to remember those who served, and maybe someone who is related to us, or that we know, a friend maybe, who paid that ultimate sacrifice. Our freedom that we share came with a cost. And this weekend causes us to stop what we're doing in our normal routine, to stop and to remember. Or at least that's what we hope happens. We hope people will actually stop and remember. And I think most people who are here today, you probably do. We're grateful for those who have served our country. And this weekend, and weekends like this, remind us that their sacrifice is worthy of us slowing down and taking time to reflect and taking time to remember. And so today I just want us to stay in that space a little bit longer of slowing down. And I want us to look today, honestly, at the pace at which we're living life. And I want to ask a question that Memorial Day causes us to quietly focus on. Here's the question I would ask you. What is it that we are so busy rushing toward? And what kind of legacy are we leaving? This is our last Sunday in this pressure cooker series that we've been in. And today we find ourselves in Psalm 46. I invite you to open your Bibles there. And we're talking about when life won't slow down. You know, we're thinking about family in this series. We have been over these past several weeks, looking at these messages that cause us to think about the family. And family is one of those great creations of God that we have found a way at times it seems like to speed up. And I'm not just talking about the speed at which your kids are growing, you know, or your grandkids are growing, but just the speed of life. And I want us to think about the speed of family life today. Does it ever seem like you run at a breakneck speed in your family? Or maybe do your kids with your grandkids run at a breakneck speed and you're wondering, how fast are they gonna go? I bet I know the answer to that question, even though I asked that of everybody today. I love what Glenn Pease wrote in a little book called The Fruit of Peace. Listen to these words. He said, "We live in a culture where speed is king. I find myself in a hurry, even if there is no reason at all. People get uptight today if they miss a revolution in a revolving door. We're an uptight generation of compulsive activists. There are 10 times more things to do in a day than anyone can do. And so we feel we're always behind and failing to do all that we could do. All we do is respond, respond, respond to stimuli. We want peace, but it just doesn't fit into our agenda. Peace calls for doing nothing sometimes, and we can't handle that." Pascal, the great Christian philosopher and scientist, said, "Most of man's troubles come from his inability to be still." In our passage that we're going to look at today, we're called by the psalmist to stop. Really, it's not by the psalmist. It is by the Lord himself. Psalm 46, beginning in verse 10, a very familiar passage to most of you. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." God calls on you and me to be still. How many of you have ever said to your kids, "Be still. Stop moving. You're making me nervous." I wonder if God ever says that to us. I know he says it to me. I'm not saying that God says it in that tone of voice, but he probably does. But he says, "Child, would you just stop moving?" I know he says that to me a lot, and I'm sure many of you probably feel that same way. I want to talk about the fast-paced family. Our lives today are so fast-paced. There are so many competing events and schedules and pressures. We try to take a break today by going on vacation, and then we make our vacation so busy that we come home completely exhausted. And then we're just trying to find peace, but finding peace and quiet in our own home is hard sometimes. There's sounds, there's flashing lights, there's a dishwasher that's making noise, there's a fire smoke alarm that's beeping, there's a neighbor that's mowing their yard, there's traffic outside, we hear a siren, there's a crying baby, there's a crying parent. There are so many noises and sounds. Some are soft, some are loud. You can't figure out, is that the dryer that's going or that little mechanical robot vacuum that runs around and terrorizes the dog? We also have calendars. And in our calendars, we cover those calendars. When we have kids, we cover them in colors, each color representing a different family member, because we're trying to remember where everybody has to be all the time. We are a busy people. And here's the reality. Families aren't just busy, they're maxed out. Families are maxed out. We are not living in a slightly busier culture than we used to. We are living in a relentless pace of life. Previous generations did not experience the pace at which we run today. Today you have both parents typically working, or you have one that's working long hours. Oftentimes parents are working multiple jobs. On top of that, you have kids that are going to school and they are in multiple activities, oftentimes every night of the week. Even downtime has gotten filled. It's filled with screens and notifications and updates and noise. Weekends that used to be somewhat restful after you mowed the yard are now packed, and families are maxed out. People no longer feel safe to let their kids just go out in the yard and play like many of us in the room did today when we were growing up. So kids today are put into every event and every activity possible because we can't just let them go out and play anymore, we think. So life is filled with school and homework and practice and games, rinse and repeat. And for many families, their life is just maxed out. We used to have busy days. Now we have busy lives. There used to be built-in margin in our lives. Evenings were mostly spent at home. Families would sit around the dinner table, look at each other, talk to each other. Overall, there was a slower rhythm of life. Today, for many kids, dinner is in the car. Conversations are shorter. Texts are more common form of communication than actually talking to each other. Families are physically together less, emotionally connected even less. And it's fragmenting relationships. Everyone's going in different directions with very little meaningful conversation. Parents feel disconnected from their kids. Their kids say that they feel disconnected from their parents. And all of this is creating chronic stress and anxiety. Anxiety, in fact, has become the norm. It's normal as families are living on the edge. And yet we push harder and harder to pick up the pace. Time with God becomes optional at best. Maybe rushed at best is probably the way to say that. Church becomes something that we try to fit in our schedule if it works. Faith becomes secondary instead of central to our home. Busyness is draining everybody in the house. And life is always about giving. It's rarely about receiving, filling up the tank. And it leaves people exhausted physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And what happens is that exhaustion and that deep exhaustion of the soul brings irritability and numbness and a lack of joy and more anxiety. And what's happening is families are paying for it. I have a word for families today, and it's kind of simple. You weren't created to live constantly depleted. Our schedules produce volume in our life. And what happens is we become so very busy. And this is something I learned when I was a teenager. I still remember the first time I read it, and it just stuck in my mind. And it's this: if we're too busy for God, we're busier than God wants us to be. But we live our lives from edge of the page to edge of the page, and there is no margin. We convince ourselves that activity is what we all must do. So we go, 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 and we train our kids. Hey, this is a normal way to do life. Push it to the limit, no rest. And then we wonder, why is my kid cratering? Why am I cratering? And the result is that we get too busy for what matters most because we're so busy doing things. And life gets too loud for us to be able to hear God's voice. And we become too controlling as we're trying to deal with our anxiety and trying to deal with all the things in the world around us. And it gets too loud to hear God, and we're trying to control things, and we're trying to say we trust God, but we're trying to control everything, which leaves us empty and feels like we can't keep going. And that's not what God has intended for us or for our families. Busyness is not just about too many things to do. It's about what we value. Busyness speaks to what we're afraid of. It also speaks to what we think matters most. And sometimes we're busy because we're afraid. We're afraid that our kids are going to miss out. Or we're afraid that our kids are going to fall behind. Or we're afraid we're going to get to heaven and find out that our kid actually could have been an elite athlete. And we miss that opportunity. We are afraid that everybody else is doing this with their kids. They're running their families like this. They're running their kids like this. And sometimes what happens is we just chase after things. And we're like a dog chasing its tail. And sometimes we're chasing success and chasing security. And we think that putting our kids in everything gives us all of that. And oftentimes we're afraid to say no. And what happens is our schedules reveal our beliefs and our values and our priorities, sometimes more honestly than what our words would admit. And how we spend our time and how we spend our money tells us what's important to us. I mean, those two are very good measuring tools about our life, how we spend our time and how we spend our money. We want to do things for our families, and hey, that's good. But we have to make sure that we don't miss out on what is best for our families. You can be busy building a life and still miss the life that God intends for you to live. And that's true for individuals, it's true for families. But I have really good news for you today, and that is this: God invites you to stop. God invites you to stop, and what an invitation so many of us need, to stop for a moment and do what the Bible tells us to do. What does it say in verse 10 there? Be still. Be still. It's an interesting phrase. Our normal thoughts would say that, you know, this is what we mean. Like, we think of it like when we're telling our kids, be still. Be still to us oftentimes means, hey, don't get out of bed. Be still. Take a deep breath. Be still. Calm down. Sit down. Be still. It's like a teacher in a classroom. That's how we think of it. The Hebrew meaning of that phrase is much more wonderful than that. The Hebrew meaning of that phrase, be still, means stop striving. Stop striving. Let go of trying to control everything. Release that tight grip. Stop wrestling. Stop fighting it. This is not just about physical stillness. The Bible speaking here is speaking about spiritual surrender. Another way of saying it might be something like this. Stop striving and let go of trying to control everything and recognize that I am God. Psalm 46 is not written in a peaceful setting. If you look back over the psalm, it is written in the middle of turmoil. In verse 2, it talks about, though the earth give way. It talks about the mountains falling into the heart of the sea. In verse 6, it talks about how the nations are in uproar. This is chaos language. This is disaster language. Yet in the midst of that kind of world, God says, be still, stop striving. He's not whispering in a quiet room with a baby that's napping. He is commanding this in the middle of a storm. He's saying, be still. Be still before God is not the absence of chaos. Instead, it is the refusal to be controlled by all those circumstances around you where the earth is giving way and the mountains are falling in the heart of the sea. What's great about this invitation, that God offers here is that families can receive that invitation. These families that are pushing and striving all the time, we can choose to hear this invitation of God. So many families are managing, controlling, scheduling, fixing, running, surviving. And God walks into the cool of our day and says, hey, why don't you be still? It's an invitation for the internal to rest before the external calms down. And the external may never calm down. You know why I say that? Because it never calms down. The external, there's always something going on. But we can choose to let our soul find rest in the Lord. We can choose a quiet heart, a quiet life, a quiet pace. But it's all about being intentional before the Lord. You can have, by the way, a very slow schedule and not have a still heart. Could it be that God is calling some of us today? Maybe it's a dad, maybe it's a mom, maybe it's a grandparent. Could it be that God is calling some of us today to an internal stillness? Could God be calling us to maybe slow the pace of a frantic family? Maybe saying no to one more commitment. Trying to turn off the noise. I made a decision at the beginning of this year that this was going to be the year that I was going to say no to some things because I'm not great at that. And so I decided this is going to be the year to do that. And the Lord said to me, oh yeah? And there were three things in particular that happened this year. Two that were things that I've been working on for between 5 and 10 years, but had not come to fruition. And both of them opened up as opportunities this year. And the Lord said to me in that moment, what are you going to say right now? Saying no is really hard. By the way, I said no to all three, and it pained me. One of the guys said, I thought you'd been trying to make this happen. I said, I understand. Sometimes saying no is what we need to do because it's what's best for our family. Sitting at the table together. Choosing presence over productivity. Praying instead of panicking. To say no to some things that everybody else is doing, all the other families are doing. Also, that you can say yes to what few of those families are experiencing. As was quoted, the quote from Pascal earlier, most of man's troubles come from his inability to be still. God gives us a command in the passage. And it's not because God lacks attention, but it's because he is attentive to that which we lack. The soul rest that each of us needs, that our family needs. And so God invites us to stop striving. He says, be still. But not only that, he also invites you to trust him. To trust him. When God tells us to be still, that leads to the next phrase, and know that I am God. Now, I've separated those two phrases in this sermon, but you can't separate those two phrases in real life. Being still is what leads you to know God. You cannot truly know God in the constant noise and hurry and control and notifications that our phone gives us and all the busyness. The way that you come to know God is by being still, even with all those other things going on around you. Stillness is the gateway to knowing God, not just knowing about him. This passage is not about having a head knowledge about God. As I said a few weeks ago, it's not about winning the Bible category on Jeopardy. It's not just about this knowledge in our brain. The Hebrew word that's used here means to know him personally, experientially. To know by experience, to know through relationship, not just to know facts about someone. It's not just agreeing with a theological statement about him. It is recognizing, it is experiencing, it is trusting God. To trust who God truly is, and to be able to do so, to trust him so much that you're able to actually be able to rest in him. When you know God, that deepens your understanding and your awareness of who he is, but that also builds up your ability to trust him. The more you know him, the more you trust him. Knowing he is God is a constant reminder that he is in control. That he's in control of you and your life. You're accepting, when you say, know that I am God, you are accepting God's authority over your heart and over your family. It is trusting God's sovereignty over the concerns of your heart. And it's releasing your need to try to control all the outcomes. We have become a generation of control freaks. We call people, maybe somebody at the office you might refer to as a control freak, or you got a family member who's a control freak. On some level, we're all control freaks. We just have a way of doing that. We think that we can control it either by actively trying to change something or by worrying about it. We think that we have control, and yet we can't. We can't control our kids' futures. We can't control world events. We can't control the decisions that other people make, the pressures that other families are putting on our family, the pressures that their schedule puts on your family's schedule, the pressure that relationships put on relationships. So it causes anxiety in our hearts and in our life and our families, but this passage invites us to trust him. And where is that trust place? That I am God. God is not just saying there, I exist. He is saying, I rule, I reign, I'm Lord over all, I am in control, I am above all things. So when you say, be still, stop striving, and know that I am God, you're saying, I'm not going to strive to control everything because I know the one who's in control. I've had this experience with the one who is in control, and I can trust him. And the rest of that verse reinforces it. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That is a sovereignty statement. That is not a comfort cliche. This is the God that we put our trust in, the God who is calling on our hearts to trust him enough that we can be still. This is the God who rules the nations. He rules the universe. He can handle our problems, our concerns, our cares. But when we strive, when we're always on the run, we create a culture within our home. We create families that are on the run. And we trade God, who is sovereign, for our ability to think we can make it all happen and we can do it if we just work harder, try harder, go faster. Which is why God gives us this wonderful invitation. Be still. That is, find rest in Him. Know. That is, personally, relationally, experientially, that He is God, that He is sovereign, He is in control, He rules, He reigns. When your kid's future or your grandkid's future feels uncertain, know that He is God. When your schedule feels overwhelming, know that He is God. When your family feels out of control, know that He is God. When you don't know what to do next, know that the one who is God knows what is going to happen next. The psalmist reminds us that peace comes when we stop trying to be God for our family. Peace comes when we remember who God really is and who we are not. It's trusting when you don't understand. It's resting when you feel the pressure. It's obeying when it's uncomfortable. It's letting go when you want to be in control. Knowing God doesn't remove the chaos. It just changes how you stand in the midst of it, who you trust, and where you find peace. So I want to talk about realigning into renewal. When our priorities shift, blessings follow. Now, I want to be very clear about something because people like to take things I say to the farthest extreme. I want to be clear. I am not saying don't do anything. I'm also not saying don't let your kids be involved in anything. You know, you don't do anything. You don't let your kids be involved in anything. You're just starting a cult in your house. Don't do that. All right. Not saying that. If you heard me say don't do anything, you missed the point. I am not advocating for less activity. I'm advocating for right activity. There are some practical right activities to pursue. It really begins with parents in many ways. And parents, you have to find time to spend with God. I have a lot of people say, you know, man, I just don't have time. Just remember, just keep this before you. If you have any time at all to look at Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or Twitter, then you have time for God. Those 10 minutes of scrolling, you could share a few of those minutes with some scripture. I don't mean you got to sit down and read the whole book of Ezekiel, but a little time in God's word every day goes a long way. An ongoing, parents, an ongoing conversation. I know if you've got preschoolers, you've got ongoing conversation. But an ongoing prayer conversation with God all day goes a long way. We view prayer like it's a telephone. We pick it up, we talk to God, we hang up, we may call Him again later. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is an ongoing, daily, all day long kind of conversation. You're just in His presence. You're just talking to Him, even as you're trying to get a diaper on a naked kid running around the house. It is about living life and talking to God as you go. Parents, you also have to audit your calendar and evaluate how your time is actually being spent and compare that to what you think matters the most. And sometimes we have to make intentional changes based on that evaluation. Sometimes we have to make unpopular decisions based on that evaluation. What is it that's missing in my family that I want? What are we giving into and what are we participating in just because everybody else is doing it? You have to evaluate the cost of a yes. What is it that we're trading that yes in exchange for? What are we giving up because we're saying yes to this? Good things can still create unhealthy pressures if there are too many of them. So we have to figure out what is it that we're going to say no to? What are the areas where we need to pull back? What matters most in the scheme of life? I do want to make a recommendation to you. And that is, I think you should schedule church and faith as a priority, not an option. I think that being in a place of worship, being in a before the Lord every week and showing your kids this is really what is important in life is very, very important to families. And so saying, hey, we go to church, that's not something we pray about. Even if that means we don't participate in other things. I understand you got vacations and you got things that happen. I get all that. You don't take that too extreme. You understand what I'm saying? There are just people who at times will say, we're giving up on church because we're pouring our life into this. And then oftentimes they wonder what happened. Schedule church and faith as a priority. Recenter your life around God's priorities. Build your home spiritually, not just structurally. Here's just a couple of others I'll throw out. Protect family meals. I'm a fan of family meals. Create rhythms of rest for everyone. Intentionally plan connection. You look at that list that's on the screen there, and some of you are of the generation where you look back and you'd say, well, duh, of course you ought to do that. That's kind of crazy talk these days. But for families that choose, that make these decisions, it's important. Realize it or not, your calendar is discipling your kids. Your calendar is discipling your kids. It's forming them spiritually and emotionally and mentally and physically. That's why you got to audit your calendar by asking, what is filling our time? What is forming our family? What is missing that matters the most? What are some things we need to say no to so we can say yes to what we think is best for our family? You know, years from now, your kids are not going to remember every single practice that they had, but they are going to remember what was important to mom and dad. And oftentimes we don't necessarily need a new plan. We just need a renewed perspective. We don't need more control, just deeper trust. We don't need to figure everything out. We just need to remember who God is, and we need to center and align our lives around things that will bless our family. Most people are not exhausted because life is hard. Life is hard. But most people are not exhausted because life is hard. Most people are exhausted because they just won't stop striving. They won't stop striving. And yet to know that He is God, to stop striving and to rest in His control is where life begins to deepen in a way. When we stop striving and we start pursuing and experiencing God, there is a depth that comes into our life and comes into our relationships and comes to our homes that you just can't beat. I think this verse is a verse for every day. It's not just for special days of the week. It's not just for certain times of year or just at a wedding or just at a funeral. I think this is one of those verses that we need every day of our life. And if you have a young family, I would just encourage you, don't wait till you're burned out to slow down. Don't wait, I would also say to all of us, till vacation comes to apply this verse. You may need a vacation, but what you really need is restoration. And restoration can happen in your home. It can happen living right here in this city. The goal isn't to do everything, it's to do what matters most. And God's word promises that if we will be still and know that He is God, we will find the things that matter most in all the areas of our life. And on this Memorial Day weekend, I think that's worth pausing and remembering. Amen. Would you bow your head with me today? I know it's very easy to hear sermons like this and say, yeah, but I just want to invite you, as I've often done in this series, just to let God say to you what he wants to say to you. You can ignore what I have said, but what is it that the Lord wants you to hear in your life, in your individual life, in your family life? What is it that God is saying to you? Maybe you've gotten disconnected. Maybe you have in some way just feel like you're fried, you're burned out, you're exhausted. And maybe today you just need that word from the Lord to be still, just to have that reminder to be still and know that he is God. Is there an area of your life that you're striving in, that you're pushing in? God's inviting you just to rest in him. There's probably many of you who are concerned about your extended family. Maybe it's kids with grandkids and you're just worried about the pace of life. And there's an aspect of that which is normal because the older we get, the tends to be the slower that we move, and our young families tend to move very, very quickly. And yet at the same time, this is not as much about pacing other people. It is about striving, being still. My prayer today that the Lord would take these words and speak to your heart in whatever way that he would see fit, and that you would hear and respond in the way that he desires. If you've come to our service today and never given your life to Jesus, I want you to make the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. I want to invite you to go to our Connect Room today and give your heart to Christ. Go give your life to Jesus Christ. It is the greatest decision you could ever make to place your faith and trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not about being a good person, doing good things. It's about recognizing that in our sinfulness, Christ came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, paid the price for our sin, rose again on the third day, and offers us eternal life. And if you've come today and you've not experienced that in your life, you'll never know the peace of God until you've experienced the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to our connector room, this glassed-in room out here on the commons, and give your heart to Christ today. Maybe you've come today and God's spoken to you about joining our church. You can go to our connect room and join the church. Maybe God's speaking to you about being baptized. Maybe you've never been baptized, never been scripturally baptized. I want to invite you to go to our connect room, and you can talk to them about being baptized. Maybe you need prayer in your life, somebody to pray for you. You can go there. We have deacons who are there who will pray over you. Somebody here may be sensing a call to ministry or to missions, and you want to talk to somebody about that. We want to talk to you. We want to help you and encourage you in that. So don't be afraid of going there, but let us pray with you on that. Some of you may not know what you need. You just know you need to go. Go. Make that decision today. It's very easy for us to put the Lord off and say, hey, another time, not today. Today is the day. Today is the day to say yes to the voice of God in your life. Would you quietly stand where you are as I lead us in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for these moments, for these who have come to be a part of this service. Lord, thank you for the reminder that we've received from your word to stop striving and instead find rest in you. Lord, I pray that today we would find rest in you. God, I pray for people to give their heart to Christ today, for people to join the church or be baptized, whatever it may be. Lord, I pray that people would do what you have placed on their heart to do, that they would not put it off for another time, but today they would take that step of faith, walk in that connect room, and make that decision. Lord, we are praying. We are praying that people would follow you. Lord, hear the prayers of your people today who love you. Hear the prayers of your people who want to follow you. God, do a work in our church today. In Jesus' name, amen.